Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Hey everybody, welcome to the Keep It Simple podcast. Glad you joined us today. I'm Gavin Durson, along with my partner in crime.
Hey, I'm Tom LeCompte. How are you guys doing? And good recording with you, Gavin?
Yeah, I was actually thinking, Tom, I don't know that I got a chance to tell you, a few weeks back you did a podcast without me.
Yep, I did.
And it was one of the few podcasts, Keep It Simple podcast, I've actually listened to.
It was probably a good podcast.
It actually was.
Because it was without you.
Well, I actually was going to say that I thought it was really good. I enjoyed thoroughly listening.
I think you're talking about the interview we did with Richard Jacobson.
Yes, yeah. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that,
if that podcast was good, it wasn't me. It was
him. It was great. It was enjoyed hearing his story and kind of a lot of things he had to say, I thought they were very good, so I appreciate you doing that. And if you didn't get a chance to check that one out, go back in the a few weeks ago, March-ish, April.
Yeah,
that was very good. All right, Tom, why don't you introduce? Let's get right into it today, Tom. Why don't you get it started?
Well, what reminded me of this? This is a topic we talked about years ago when we first started this podcast, and it's a subject that a lot of discipleship people or a lot of simple church people, organic church people are into, but it's the fivefold ministry, some people call it, or the simple gifts that you find. There's a list of them in Ephesians chapter 4, and people have labeled it with the acronym APEST, APEST, and that stands for Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist, Pastor, Teacher. Let's talk about those.
I don't think that spells APEST. I think that spells like APEPT. I think it's Shepherd.
Shepherd, right. Pastor, yeah. Shepherd, enter, APEPT. APEST. All right, let's start over.
Okay. No, we're not starting the podcast over. You're not APEST. Getting out of that one. You're not getting out of it. We're rolling.
Okay. All right. You heard it here first. We are college educated people. Yes, we are. So, okay, but let's talk about these things. I mean, obviously, you know, we operate in the church today that Christ is the head of the church and that Christ has given certain gifts to various people within the church in order to build each other up, right? And there are various lists throughout all the scripture, and there is no one complete list, which is really frustrating to me, because if I could just read one list and have all the spiritual gifts on there, and then we could say, well, I think this gift applies to me, and then I'm good at this gift, or God has blessed me with this gift, but it's not that simple.
Well, and don't you think, Tom, to interject here right off the bat, I think, you know, this the passage in Ephesians where it speaks of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds,
shall we read it?
Teachers. Yeah.
Okay, here's the scripture. This is from Ephesians 4, starting at chapter 11. And he, I'm reading from the ESV, and he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, and it goes on and on, but...
Why don't we read that? Can you flip that over and read it in a different translation?
ESV? Let's do NIV, shall we?
Yeah.
This is from the NIV. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
I think this list may get mixed in with the gifts list, and I think they may be separate. To me, when I read this is Paul saying that he has given people, the gifts are the people, and these people function in certain ways. Maybe they have certain bents or some certain types of people. They're types of people. They're not even, and I think sometimes, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, and I could be totally wrong on this. If I am, I'm sure, please email us, let us know about how we're.
Oh, we'll probably get emails on this one a lot.
But, you know, I don't see this. I think a lot of times people say, well, there's not apostles anymore. There's not. And I think some of this stems from looking at these titles as titles or as positions within offices within a hierarchical organization. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it in that term, then, yeah, maybe there's problems. But rather, if you look at them as what Paul's saying, these are people who function certain ways, and these people are the gifts that God has given to build up the church into unity. And so these are not we're not talking about, well, my church has, you know, an apostle, you know, so-and-so, and he is therefore on the board of apostles, or, you know, it's like when you start talking about all that stuff, I think you miss it, in my opinion. And again, I could be wrong, but to me, what Paul's saying is that there are people who are functioning as apostles, they're functioning as pastors, evangelists, they're functioning as shepherds, they're shepherding type people. They're mm-hmm. These people, God has given us all these people as a way to build up the church. And right. So that, again, I may be skewed, but that's just sort of where I'm at with it. And so, you know, that's sort of where I come at it. There's gifts. There's apostles and
sure.
prophets
yeah.
who have the gift of hospitality and the gift of this, but
yes.
maybe there are these folks. I mean, I think it almost, to me, and I've shared this before, I think all of us should be functioning in all of those ways, because Christ was the perfect apostle, the perfect shepherd, the perfect
yeah.
teacher, the perfect evangelist. And if we look at him as being all of those, the consummation of all of those gifts and functions in one, I mean, we're to be more like him, then we're probably going to be always growing as in functioning in our lives as an apostle, you know, whatever. There's going to be some there be more natural to us than others.
So, yeah, that was one of the points I wanted to make, was clearly Jesus was all of these. Jesus said at any one time, you could look at him and say, well, here he's functioning as the apostle. Here he's functioning as the prophet. Here he's functioning as an evangelist. Here he's clearly functioning as
yeah.
a shepherd. And here he's teaching. So, and he's, you know, building up the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But and I could see Paul, the apostle Paul, functioned as many of these at various times. So that makes me wonder, are these functions a one-time declaration, a one-time gift, a one-time assignment, or can I be an apostle for a while and then go and teach someone and become a teacher? There's an example where Paul tells Timothy, hey, do the work of an evangelist. I mean, he's not telling him to become an evangelist, but he says, you need to do the work of an evangelist, which I guess we all do at one time.
Yeah.
So that's one of my questions. What do you think, Gavin? Do you think they're one time, this is your assignment, you know? God made you an evangelist.
Why don't you read the scripture? Do we have the scripture?
Well, I'm gonna read it and insert it earlier. So some questions I have about that. My first question, I guess, is are these functions permanent? Is a person an apostle for life? Is a person an evangelist for life? We've talked about the fact that Jesus probably had all of these functions. We saw him do all of these things, and we saw the Apostle Paul do many of these things. And Paul encourages Timothy, you know, do the work of an evangelist, in addition to whatever he was doing well.
Yeah.
So are these things that come and go upon the believer, or are these...
Can I ask a question, a prior question? I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question. Why is that important? Why do you think this is important?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you have a if you sit a group of 20 people in a room, are you going to have five apostles? Are you going to have five or four apostles, four evangelists, four prophets, four pastors, four teachers? Are you going to have those functions manifesting themselves at various times in various ways through the various people? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I kind of think of it more, I mean, and I'm just talking out of my own experience, you know, but for me, I remember when I was reading about some of this stuff, and Alan Hirsch has, you know, wrote the book Forgotten Ways and has had a lot to say about this apest idea and kind of, I think, bringing it back to the mainstream and causing people to kind of think about it a little differently. But I know for me, like, I think what was helpful to me was to be someone who has always felt like I didn't fit in the church. And, you know, one of the things that he talks about how is that I could be off here, but my understanding and the what I got from his contribution in that book and elsewhere that he spoke and written about this idea is that, you know, all believers probably have a bent in one of these directions, you know, that we all God has given these kinds of people to build up the church and to equip, which is an important piece in that passage that we read, is to equip others. It's not even, you know, and maybe you might say, some of us might say, well, this is not everybody in the body of Christ is going to be one of these things, whatever. We could talk about that. But the point of it is that he has given people to function in these ways, to be these kinds of people to build up the church and to equip the church to become one. And as I began to look into this, my understanding, you know, was I never really felt like I have fit in the church, because in Alan and some of the things that he and others have written helped me to realize that part of that, I think, is because most of the people that lead the churches today, and most churches in America at least, are they're very pastor teacher led. And so if you're a pastoring kind of person, you want to take care of people, you're more of a, you know, worried about caring for the flock, and that's sort of your natural bent. Or if you're a teacher, you're a gifted speaker teacher from an academic way, even, I would say. We've defined teacher, I would say, a little bit narrowly compared to maybe what even they would have been defined back then. But we've defined teacher as someone who is a very much a Western academic type of teacher. And if you can do that well, or you're someone who's a very good nurturing, caring kind of for the flock, that's your, you know, you're going to, you know, that's your natural bent. Then you can be a leader. You can have a great job you can be a leader in a church in America, in the West today. But if you're an evangelist or you're an apostle, you tend to bend more towards the apostolic function or a prophetic function, then you're not going to probably be in the church. You're going to be in a parachurch ministry somewhere. And that was certainly true for me. The more I looked into that, the more I kind of saw myself as being hardwired in some ways I'm always thinking about the town next door or the house next door. Right. How can we take the gospel to those people and start a movement there and see the gospel spread? And how can we do, you know, that apostolic role has been defined by, you know, depending on how people define it. But that's sort of been my understanding, is where I've kind of had more of a natural bent. It wasn't like I woke up and tried to be that or took a class to be that. It's just sort of the way I am. And that was helpful to me.
Because you're always pushing.
That's sort of my natural inclination. Right. Now, that can be used as an excuse not to do the other things. But in fact, I think one of the things I took from some of those discussions and things that we've looked at this before is that when you look at these gifts and these functions, that it's not maybe so much so that you can claim title to that, but it's more to sort of maybe recognize in what ways you're not naturally inclined. Like, so I'm not maybe the most nurturing or shepherding kind of a person. That might not be my first instinct to think that way. Therefore, now that I know that, I need to be around other people who are that way. And I need to make sure that in my house church, it would be good to identify the person that is and to give them more respect and attention whenever they say something that maybe runs counter to what I might think. Because I realize now, no, this person is not, they're not wrong. They're different. God has given them to the body of Christ to think differently than me. And that's so that we might be built up as one. And so rather than dismiss them, I need to be more attuned to what they might have to say, because I know that they're a gift to the church and they're not like me.
Right.
That's a lot. I don't know if that answered your question, but I guess to you know, answer your question, I think that it's sort of a maybe a way, and I think it could change. Like, you know, you might, depending on where you are in life, we're all moving and maturing and growing, and hopefully we're all maturing and growing in all of these ways. I would say we're all, hopefully, as we're becoming more like Christ, who was all of these things, you know, we're growing, and there might be a season in our life where maybe our natural bent is more of the evangelist, that it might shift, you know, yeah, as yeah, we mature and grow. And but again, it's not, the point of it is not to figure out what we are so that we can put a title on a business card and tell other people to listen to us because we're this. You know, that I think that's where a lot of this stuff gets convoluted and messed up, is that we've turned all these things into positions of power within exactly, a hierarchical organization, and people pull rank on each other because they're apostle so-and-so or evangelist so-and-so. And it's like, man, if I have to tell people I'm an evangelist, then I may not be an evangelist. It's like, man, you know what I mean? Like, if I need to put that on my business card, I'm an evangelist, then I might not be a very good evangelist, because people probably know I'm an evangelist before they have to read my business card.
Yeah, I want to bring up that point. It's, to me, it's not the title that is paramount as the result. And the result is, are we equipping people for works of service? You know, are we building the body of Christ up?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what your title is.
In fact, if you're equipping people for works of service, you know, it's almost like saying you're going to be in the background.
Yeah.
You know, like
decrease, he must increase.
Yeah, and other people, you're going to be equipping other people. You know, that's something we've talked about. It's like, well, you know, even as someone who might say, man, I think if I were to have to take a guess, I might be more apostolic leaning. And I think, well, my job is not to be the super apostle guy. My job is to help you in Louisville, who may not be apostolic natured in thinking, to think more apostolic, to train you, to equip you to think more about the next town over. Mm-hmm. You know, it's to help you do that. It's to help the folks in my house church be prepared when they move to the next town, that to go there and start a new work. It's to equip them to do that. It's to do these things, not to do it all myself, mm-hmm, but to equip others.
And now, Acting Out. Acting Out is the segment of our show when we look at the book of Acts in the Bible and find lessons from the early church. In this brief segment, we ask ourselves, if the first century church turned the world upside down then, what could the church today do equally well in the 21st century? What's the church's focus? From Acts chapter 6. In the sixth chapter of Acts, we see evidence of the growing pains that the church experienced in Jerusalem. Things were getting really busy for the apostles. Their days were filled with preaching, healing, getting arrested, getting beaten, rejoicing, praying, etc. On top of that, they had the burden of the daily distribution of food for the believers, which would number in the thousands by now. When a small number of people had to do so many things for so many, then some of those tasks were probably not done so well. Because of the overwhelming amount of work the apostles had to do, a vulnerable group of needy believers, widows from outside Judea, was being neglected. In order for the apostles to properly perform their apostolic ministry, which was disseminating the gospel through preaching and teaching, it was vital that they spend time in prayer, studying, and reflecting. Their ministry was unimaginably important. Their work was the spearhead of the gospel advance at that time. Feeding the poor was very important as well, but that job shouldn't have tied up their time to such a degree that it prevented them from performing their apostolic duties, being the messengers of the good news. Both jobs were very important, both needed to be done and done well, but the apostles recognized that they didn't have to do everything themselves. They couldn't. Someone else could do the administrative and practical work that serving these widows required. That way, the apostles could wholly devote themselves to preaching and teaching. The apostles did the work that they were best suited for, and the six recruited deacons took care of the important job of serving the church's immediate needs. Are there people within your church who do all or most of the work? Do you know about the 80-20 rule? It's not a rule, it's more of an observation. But it goes like this. In most churches, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. But I don't think that was the case in the early church. I think everyone pitched in to do what they could do best to serve God within the church. Some, like the apostles, were gifted at preaching and teaching the gospel. Others were great at serving those in need. It's all important, and we all have a part to play. As we play our unique parts, let's remember that all ministry is meant to focus on the communication of the gospel to those who need to hear it. Preaching is part of that communication. So is caring for the poor. But without the communication, the church doesn't grow and unbelievers will still remain unbelievers. Is there something you can do to help? In the simple church, we are all encouraged to participate in the ministry of the church. We are all given jobs to do by the Holy Spirit. And he empowers us to do them in his strength. Some of us are going to be better at outreach, and that's what we need to devote most of our time to. And some of us are going to be really good at caring for our flock, and we need to be freed up to do that. No one can do it all. No one should do it all. What is your part to play in turning the world upside down? I think now would be a good time to talk about some of these definitions, because I know a lot of people are tripping over the, especially the word apostle, and are saying to themselves, there are no more apostles. And that's partially true. There are no more apostles, as we read about in the scriptures. Apostle, capital A, one of the original 12 that was with Jesus, hung around Jesus, learned at his feet, did miracles, things like that. However, what does the word apostle mean? It means one who is sent. So when I use the word apostle, I'm using the word missionary. I'm interchanging that word, you know, the Latin word missio, missionary. So when I think of an apostle, I'm thinking of it as someone who is sent, someone who keeps pushing, yeah, who wants to go beyond and wants to keep going with the word of God.
I think people get tripped up on that precisely because of what you're talking about. And I don't think any of us here would say,
scripture mentions more people who called themselves apostles, lowercase a, than beyond the list in the gospels.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would, well, I think the hard part is that, you know, I don't think anybody would say, well, those 12, the 12 apostles that were with Jesus, like, that we, you know, I think sometimes people say, well, if I'm an apostle now, that means, are you saying that what you say, if you decide to, yes, write a book, that it's on par with what
the same goes for the prophet, the prophetic, yes.
I think some of that's, I could be wrong on this, but, you know, again, I'm kind of thinking that we've got a lot of this, a lot of these hang-ups are caused by the power structures that we've been a part of for so long, and we see everything, right, through that lens. I mean,
yes,
I don't even know. I mean, to me, what makes the 12 apostles unique was not that they were called apostles. What makes them unique was that they walked and talked with Jesus.
Exactly.
They were a part of his ministry. They were firsthand, right, first generation, right there, talked with the master guys that, you, yeah, know, talked with him. They could have been called whatever for, you know, that's right, what makes them unique and different and set apart. Not that they had the title apostle or ended, right, up being called apostles, you know. But I think that.
But you see the use of that word apostle as someone who was sent, in other contexts in the scriptures, and I think whenever we use the word missionary, that's what we mean. We mean someone who feels called, who is sent, and that is what they feel God is calling them to do, to go, yeah, to the, you know, the regions beyond, to go to the ends of the earth or next door even. But to take the gospel, you know, where it hasn't been named.
Yeah.
And then the same with the prophet. You know, what is a prophet? Someone who speaks forth, you know, thus says the Lord. So I can see where people would have a problem with do we have prophets now? Is someone going to say the Lord says when we have the completed scripture? Or could there be someone who declares what the scriptures say and in the context of thus says the Lord, thus says the scriptures, is that a prophet? Is that a prophetic is that the prophetic ministry that we're talking about here? Or is it no longer in existence?
Yeah.
I can see where you would have, in my opinion, I think there is a lower lowercase p prophet as well. I mean, someone who speaks, thus says the Lord, but that thus says the Lord does not supersede scripture. It's from scripture. Does that make sense?
It's like, I think in maybe this would be a prophetic statement. I believe, mm-hmm. and I have a conviction, that God is going to grow his church through simple churches and house churches mm-hmm. in our next generation, that he's in the generations to come, like that he is going to do. That is his heart. That's what he's going to do. I believe that. Time will tell I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. I believe that's very much a part of his heart. Now, someone would hear someone say something like that, and they would say, well, man, that's sort of a prophetic statement. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't care if people think that. If I came to your house and said that, and you thought, man, that's very prophetic of you to say that, well, fine, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it, and I do believe that, and I don't believe that's contrary to Scripture. Mm-hmm. But I also know that, sometimes people, I don't know. It sounds like it's just a conviction. To me, a prophet is someone who has a deep sense of conviction about what God is up to.
Right.
And,
a deep sense of, hey, you're in sin. You need to repent because the Bible says this.
Yeah.
And this is what you need to do to get your life straight. That's not a revelation of, apart from Scripture. That's just saying, hey, look.
Yeah.
The Scripture says this. You're not there,
and thus says
the Lord.
And I'm not necessarily, I think there has been times where God has maybe used me in a prophetic way. It's not something that I necessarily think about or try to do, but I don't have a problem if someone calls it that. I think some of us, someone like me, I think sometimes I've ran into a lot of folks who have had a not quite a thus saith the Lord kind of a statements about things, but it almost seems like they're kind of saying, mm-hmm. God wants me to say this to you all and all this. And I think sometimes that can rub me the wrong way, and sometimes it's rubbed other. And so people want to, I think, react to say, well, there's no prophets today, But at the same time, I've seen God use a lot of people that would say, if you kind of pushed them and said, this is more, I feel like God's called me to be a more of a prophetic kind of a person.
Right.
Then I've been blessed by a lot of those folks and how God's used them, and some of their things that make me even a little uncomfortable, you know? So, to me, I think as I've studied these fivefold, to me, it's made me be a little more sensitive to those folks and not just be so quick to write people that aren't like me or think like me or maybe speak like me off.
There's nobody like you, Gavin. Nobody. So
that's true.
The other one more definition I want to try to tackle is a lot of people will look at the shepherd and the teacher and put them together. And I don't know if that's because of the grammar, the Greek grammar. It leaves out the article in between those two, whereas it had the article in front of the others. So based on that, they say, well, it must be the same thing. I don't know if I agree with that, because I see people who are better pastors, better shepherds than they are teachers, and vice versa. I see good teachers who are lousy pastors, lousy shepherds. To me, I see two distinct people, whereas some people say no. It's one person, and I'm wondering if that's because of what we've done with the hierarchy and what we've done with that office. You know what I'm saying? That person, the pastor is the teacher, is the pastor is the teacher.
Yeah, I would suspect so. I mean,
But in a simple church, we have the ability to distinguish.
I think comes back to this. Why is this question, if you're a house church leader, and you're someone who's wanting to start a simple church, or you're leading a simple church, why is any of this important, Tom?
Why is it important? Because these people, like I said, you fill a room of 20 Christians, 20 believers, 20 people of God, and you're in community with these people day in and day out. Are we not going to see these people manifest themselves? Are we not going to see the pastor come through and nurture us? Are we not going to see a person teach us? Are we not going to see someone bring the good news? the evangelist? Are we not going to see someone go out and bring the good news to more people to bring them in? Are we not going to see the prophetic? Are we not going to see apostles that want to take us to beyond?
Yeah.
I think we are. Whether we call them that or not, we're going to see that. And because of our interactions with those people, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be equipped to do good works of service. We're going to be mature. We're going to know more about Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it happens. I think that's how Christ designed it to happen. And we've kind of made it into this office thing where we're trying to identify the office when we should be identifying how are we growing? How are we being equipped? Does that make any kind of sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, to me, it's similarly, it's like, I think this is important, you know, not for creating titles
right.
for people, but to look around and to say, you know what, like, I think it can be helpful to investigate a little bit. Well, what are the, you know, I mean, clearly Paul said that, you know, that Christ has given himself, he's given these functions and people, these kinds of people to build up the church. So if you're sitting around in a simple church with 10 other evangelists, then to me, it's to say, maybe the reason we're struggling is that we're an incomplete picture of the body of Christ. Like, it, to me, it's a point, it's the important part of, like, the things that we do here. You know, I think all of us, we're going to a lot of times naturally gravitate to people that are like us. We're mm-hmm. going to find it most comfortable to be, and I think that's by God's design. I mean, I think it's going to be, he's going to use us to reach like-minded folks. A lot of times they're similar people. I mean, sometimes it's different, but it's natural that happens. So it's very possible that you could end up in a house church with, if you love studying the Bible and you're a teacher type person and that's your passion is teaching the scripture, and you could end up in a house church with a bunch of other people that's their bent as well. Mm-hmm. And so the point of it would be to me is to say, well, gosh, like maybe if he's given all, you know, maybe we need to be interacting with some people that aren't like us. Like maybe we're missing something here, you know. Mm-hmm. Parts of the body that, you know, it's good to be aware of those things, I think, because to me it speaks to the importance of, as we've talked about, of being a part of the networks of house churches or being connected. You know, that there's probably no one house church out there that has all five of these functions present in it. I mean, it could be, mm-hmm. but there's also a very good chance that it could have a couple of...
It could be lopsided.
So yeah. Therefore, the importance of being connected, you know, not isolating yourself, but being connected to what God's doing in your city and benefiting from the works of those that are different than you and function in different ways and receiving encouragement from those people and learning to do that, not to just go off in your own corner with people mm-hmm. that are like you, because there is tension, I think, in some of these. Like, the apostle is a lot of times going to maybe have tension with the shepherd. You know,
right.
he's going to be, the apostle's thinking of the one that, you know, Jesus said, man, left the 99 to go after the one. And the shepherd's going to be really maybe averse to that because the 99 have so much needs and care. And
yeah.
Both of those are important.
Right.
You know, and so that's where being a part of a network and looking at your own house church and kind of looking at maybe so much, one, where how are we wired here? How's God wired us? And what might be lacking, I think, is really important. Well, I think, to me, that's the why.
Part of the thing that inspired me to bring up this conversation was a picture I saw on my Facebook page, and I think it came from Alan Hirsch, and I'll try to put a link up there on that. But it was a picture of two different pictures. It had the triangle with the five different names, kind of one was pointing down and looked like it was embedded into the ground and stagnant, and but the other one was sideways with the apostle in the front as if it was a spearhead
uh-huh.
and a movement.
I like it.
And he had the word movement on there, and that to me makes a lot of sense, that if we're doing these things and equipping each other, we're going somewhere with it. And we're advancing, we're expanding, because the apostle is sent to a new area where no one knows, and the prophet and the evangelists come and bring the word to them, and you know, not only bring the prophetic ministry but also bring the good news, and then the the pastor comes and gathers them and assembles them into groups where they can be discipled, and the teacher teaches them, and then the whole process starts over. You know, it's a movement, it's not meant to be stagnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or office heavy, you know, it's.
Yeah.
And I don't know that one is more important than another, but just like soldiers, you know, there's different types of soldiers. There's infantry, there's artillery, there's supply, there's, you know, human resources. They're all important, but they all have different functions at different times.
Yeah. How do you go about figuring out which one of these you are? Like, how do you go about figuring out?
Is it important?
Well, I think it might be.
Okay.
I mean, I think it might be encouraging, you know, more than
anything. Would it be better if someone told you?
Well,
based on observations?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. I mean, there's these things online that you can do and whatnot, but, you know, to me, it's, I think understanding maybe, I think a good place to start, and we can link up on our website, we can link on our Keep It Simple podcast page here. But we have some blog posts about these topics, and I think a good place to start is you might not agree 100% with the definition of some of these, but you know, there are some good things out there that Hirsch and others have done to say, hey, here's kind of a good picture of what a prophet is or what a pastor is and how they look and how they're wired. You know, I think understanding those things can be helpful. It was encouraging to me to realize that you know what, like, I did have an important part in the body of Christ, even though I may not be excited about being a leader in the church, church, like, I can be a leader in the church, and just because they're not going to hire somebody like me to do a job in most of the churches, you know, that doesn't mean we're not called to be an important part, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think starting there and then taking that list and giving it to people, your wife, your spouse, your, you know, people in your house church, to say, hey, read through this, and that may even be a great exercise to say, hey, here's some descriptions. We may not agree 100% with this, but if we go with it today, how would, you know, who do you all see each of us being more aligned with? And it might be you might have a couple that you've been toward, you know.
And knowing you for the years I have, I can make the observation that I do see you as an apostle, lowercase a.
Yeah.
A messenger, a sent one, because that's your big concern. I want to plant, you know, Gavin wants to plant churches, simple churches, all over Kentucky, all over this region. You know, you're talking to people in Atlanta, you're talking to people in Indiana. That's your big concern, is can I get this message as far as I can?
Yeah, and I would say you're a teacher. You know, okay. I mean, I see that.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. But
if you listen to the podcast, you probably get that.
And the reason I won't argue with you is I love to teach. I love it.
Yeah.
It gives me energy.
Yeah, and that's for me, man. I love it whenever somebody calls and says, hey, I'd like to start a mission, starting a house church. Can you help me, man? That's the best day in my life. I love that. I'm like, man, yes, line up those folks, you know? That jazzes me up more than anybody, you know, when you have that there, or that person of peace is sort of identified, you know. So
but if this ever comes to be all about, hey, I'm Tom, I'm the teacher, but that I'm not equipping, then I gotta turn in my spurs, you know. The whole thing is I do what I do to equip people to make them, you know, ready for service, to make them mature. If I'm not doing that, if I'm just seeking the title, then that's not of God. Yeah. Christ didn't send me to do that.
Yeah, so. That's good. It's a good conversation. I mean, check out the website. I'm not a big super fan of all of these like online surveys, but there is I think Fivefold survey.
Take them all with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I think the best way
take is more than
to,
one and
go to those people that know you the best and ask them. And again, just to reiterate, is I think the biggest thing for me is to learn. Is learning what I'm not, so that I can be more sensitive to the importance of those people that function in those ways. You know,
and lean towards their expertise and not try to supplant
it. I remember early on we have these Wednesday night meetings once a month, and for those that are in town, you're always invited third Wednesday of the month, usually here at our offices. But I remember one of the years early on, probably ought to redo it, but we sort of let everyone, we spent 1 month sort of doing that, saying, hey, how do you, helping everybody to kind of think through which one of these might they see, has God wired them to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we took all those, all the different groups of folks, and we said, all right, next month, the evangelists take the month and teach us about how we can be better evangelists. The next month, the prophets teach us about why you all are so weird and how we can be more, how we can not only appreciate that, but be, you know, what does it mean for us to become more prophetic and become more like Christ in that? What does this even tell us about yourselves? You know, and it was just sort of an exercise we did for 5 or 6 months where we let every group kind of, they all met together and said, what do we want these other people to know? And that was cool. That was across house churches. And
that's, I think, good.
That's something that...
We should do that in our church.
Yeah, I think that's,
thanks
something
for that idea.
Could be good. So, yeah. But good discussion today. Thanks for joining us. And we'd love to hear from you all. What's God saying to you all about this passage? And do you think it's helpful? Is there any dangers in looking at it this way? We'd love to hear from you. I also want to get everybody's radar. I'm working on it now. We haven't got all the details, but keep an eye out for information coming out about our Simple Church conference. I think next year will be our 7th year. Hope that you could join us, make it a priority. We'll be having that in the fall, and I would love to have you come be a part of that. As always, if we can help you in any way, form or fashion, please give us a call. You got any questions you'd like to discuss, or just if you've enjoyed this podcast, always go on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, and give us a good rating and a comment. That helps helps other folks find this podcast as well. So we appreciate you listening.
Yep, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
A lot.
See you guys next time on Keep It Simple.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.